Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Change Your Mind podcast. I'm your host, Chris Ashley. And on our show, we explore the intersection between personal development, spirituality, and science. And I'm excited. We're going to talk all about essential oils today and blending science and spirituality, which really is my favorite thing to do. But first, a couple of quick announcements. Go check out the links in my show notes to find free workshops with me every week, to find courses, find ways to work with me, and go check out my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. It's available in ebook, paperback, audiobook. It was endorsed by three experts from the movie The Secret, Anita Morjani, John Gray, who wrote Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. I'd love for you to go check it out. So with me today, I have Adora Winquist. And Adora is a visionary in the field of quantum alchemy and a pioneer in the field of vibrational medicine and aromatherapeutic healing. Referred to as one of the world's leading experts in the art and science of essential oil formation and energy healing, Adora intertwines the divine knowledge and ancient wisdom of esoteric philosophy, psycho-spiritual dynamics, and vibrational medicine to her 20-plus years as a healer and educator. She holds numerous certifications, including the renowned Barbara Brennan School of Healing and Rutgers University. I didn't even read that until just now, and I love Barbara Brennan's book. So, Adora, welcome.
Thank you so much, Chris. It's such a pleasure to be here with you today.
Yeah, totally. I'm excited. So, I like to start by asking everyone the same question. What's your origin story? What led to your spiritual awakening?
Great question. I think like so many of us that find our path of passion and purpose in life, it comes through great transformation. And so my early childhood dynamics were heavy. And it really brought me to a place of first feeling that heaviness within my body. So acute and chronic anxiety, depression, feelings of anger or grief that I couldn't quite manage at a young age. And so I developed bronchitis. I was sick a lot as a child. And the bronchitis is actually what first brought me to herbal medicine. When I was about 18, I was away from home for the first time. I didn't have insurance and I didn't have a lot of money, but I'd heard about herbalism. And I went out and bought a book and five different herbs and made my first tea and was amazed by how quickly I healed. And so that really brought me on the path of making teas and tinctures and working with herbal medicine for not just my own personal health challenges, but anyone in my circle that was not feeling quite 100% and was willing to take some of my concoctions. And of course, that brought me to essential oils. And once I found the oils, I knew I was I hit something really unique because it just made my heart and soul sing. And then at that time, I also started studying energy medicine. And this was back in the mid 90s. And so there weren't many modalities yet of energy healing, right? So Reiki was very common. And I was blessed to be able to study with John Harvey Gray, who since passed, but he had learned directly in the Usui method from Takata, Hiawatha Takata. And so in my first Reiki receiving and activation, when I got the attunement, I started to see colors around people. And I thought, well, this is really incredible. I want to know more about this. And then I realized how an individual's emotions, how they were feeling, made the colors change. And I thought, well, there's something here for me too. I could just feel it. So I started doing the Reiki on myself, and of course, and others too. And then I found that, well, what would happen if I started to infuse the essential oil formulas that I'm making with this healing energy of the Reiki? And it was incredible to see how malleable the essential oils were in that regard. And so that, of course, brought me deeper in my own path of healing and studying many different modalities. And then when I was 19, I started to feel quite unwell, and I had a lot of challenges around my menstrual cycle. And I was diagnosed with a stage 4 endometriosis, which meant that I would have had it, you know, since I was in my early teens. And so that was really profound for me, because after a number of surgeries and my MD just, you know, giving me scripts for oxycodone for the pain and essentially saying, well, you know, you're a woman and you're really born to suffer. So here, take this pain medication, because this is probably in your head anyway. And let's do a hysterectomy. And at this point, I was 21 and I realized, oh, I can't follow this path. I know that I'm here to have 2 children. And so that was the moment that I really became more further entrenched on my path of spiritual awakening and healing, and really bringing together these modalities from a vibrational perspective with the plant medicine. And then, of course, as you saw, you know, eventually I did find the Barbara Brennan School of Healing and graduated from their 4-year program and also their instructor training a number of years ago, I think 20 years ago for the Hands of Light, for the 4-year program. So it's been a journey.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. And I like to start out with people's origin stories, because I like listeners to hear that, you know, everyone goes through challenging times. Everyone goes through tragedies and heartbreak and adversities in life. And we all have a choice, right? And the people that I end up having on my show made a choice to use their pain and their suffering as a launch pad for growth, right? They choose to see the lesson in everything, right? Because in every tragedy, every heartbreak, there exists a hidden Easter egg. And once we find it, tremendous healing, leveling up, and growth takes place. And usually what leads to spiritual awakenings, for the most part, is people just get to that point where they're like, I can't go down this path anymore. Mm. I have to reinvent myself. So, you know, it's interesting, like everyone's story is a little unique, but they're all really the same. And it's interesting. Also, we've talked a lot on this show about how repressed emotions can lead to pain and illness. And again, your story just echoes that. So thank you so much for sharing. And for people who don't know, can you just talk a little bit about Barbara Brennan School and what you learned to do there?
Oh, yes. So the Barbara Brennan School of Healing is really the premier global educational organization for vibrational medicine. And Dr. Barbara Ann Brennan, who passed away a year ago this month, actually, mm-hmm. or actually last month, was an incredible pioneer and gave, you know, 40 years plus of contribution into the field with the numerous books. You mentioned you had maybe Hands of Light, her first book.
Hands of Light, yeah.
Yeah, and she was a astrophysicist for NASA. And so she had an incredible foundation in science, right? Which for those of us in this field professionally, the science piece is so important, because it's really it's not a black or white in compared to spirituality, right? Science and spirituality are really different sides of the same coin, or different aspects of polarity, right? Of the same principle. And so her wonderful foundation in science gave her a great deal of credibility. And then she had this inordinate gift for healing and vision. Still to this day, the intricacy in her work that she was able to bring forth and put together in the school, which is a 4-year university that teaches vibrational healing through the human energy field, but with a tremendous focus on psychodynamics. Because we know that if we just look at the aspect of spirituality, without looking at our psychological patterns, there can be also great distortion. So the school has a tremendous fundamental in anatomy and physiology, and also a requirement for personal practice for every student each year. because of the depth that you go to in the program. Now, when I went, in, I guess this was like 2001, I had already had a healing practice for 3 years. So in my mind, I was going to this school to learn healing skills, to be able to refine things like psychic surgery or, you know, many different energy clearings. And yet the first week of the first year, I realized, oh, this is so much more than that, because the school is designed to really take you into the core of your wound. In the design, to understand that you can only take your clients as far as you've gone in your own journey.
I love that.
So it's a 4-year, very deep process that is incredibly transformative and has just a wealth of very focused, specific healing tools to use in a professional practice. So I can't say enough about the school. In fact, I still am connected once a month. I offer a free meditation in accordance, in conjunction with the Barbara Brennan School of Healing. And we will read a piece of Barbara's poetry, which is so beautiful, profound, each month. And then I offer a guided healing with essential oils and crystal alchemy, where anyone anywhere in the world can join in for free for that.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So I used to run a yoga teacher training, and we kind of said the same thing. Like, you can only help your students as far as you've gone yourself. And that is such an important piece. It's so important to turn the lens inwards and do that hard inner work. And thank you for sharing all that, because I didn't really know much about her school. Mm-hmm. And I'd love for you to just talk briefly, because I, you know, my whole jam is backing all this up with science, because we live in the most exciting time where science is literally backing up what spirituality and mystics and ancient civilizations have been saying for eons, right? Through quantum physics and epigenetics and neuroscience. And you mentioned astrophysics, and I'd love to hear about how astrophysics backs up this vibrational energy healing. That's so fascinating to me.
Well, I think that, you know, of course, here is the beauty. And like you've just said so perfectly, we're at such a unique juncture of time and space. Right, where the research and leading edge curiosity is moving this entire field of alternative medicine forward by leaps and bounds, or quantum leaps and bounds. Now, from the perspective of an astrophysicist, that was Barbara's background, right? So that's how she came to the work, from a very grounded scientific perspective. But it also brought her to a great place of curiosity in looking at the energy field, the auric field, right? Because that's the focus of the vibrational medicine that's taught through the school, and how the biofield or aura has been measured from a scientific perspective through time. And of course, you know, when we look at everything from whether it's sound healing or looking at frequency, we know that everything is energy, right? All matter is energy at varying degrees of vibration and vibrating at different frequencies, right? And even some of the research that's coming out now with frequency and sound healing and the solfeggio frequencies, 528 in particular, with the ability to repair human DNA. Like, there is so much research that's being done. But from the perspective of astrophysicists, from Barbara's perspective, you know, that was her path that led in. To me, that was the doorway that led her to bring her great scientific understanding and curiosity to a field that at that time was wholly considered woo-woo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I, you know, I'd love to just like hear more about that and read more about that. And, you know, you mentioned sound healing, which is also so amazing. And you said the 528 hertz, which I think is the frequency of unconditional love, if I'm not mistaken, right? Is that correct?
It, It is the one that's associated with the heart chakra. Okay. Oftentimes it's associated with positive vibrations, right? Because it has such a beautiful resonance. And early studies on it, just bringing that tie back to show that it does have an effect on healing human DNA is really profound. Another incredible study that I saw recently was on, was a TED talk actually, and a doctor that had been using 40 hertz for his patients that had Alzheimer's, depression, and Parkinson's with some really astounding results of using protocols of only about 3 times a week, 20 minutes at a time, to listen to this frequency. So to me, it's really such an exciting time for someone like myself that has been in this field for decades and really seen the turn of, oh, this is just, you know, woo-woo, it doesn't really have credibility, to looking at all of these studies, and especially, you know, when we start to talk about essential oils, it's truly remarkable. What we are able to understand scientifically in a way that we've known, those of us that have worked with the plants for a very long time. And even if you look back to texts, medical texts from the early 1900s, they have a great emphasis on herbalism and homeopathy and using the plants in a way that, you know, many individuals today have said, oh no, it doesn't, you know, that's not real. But if we actually look back to these texts, we can see a great deal of healing prowess from the plant kingdom, from these natural medicines.
You're making me think about, so in 2010, both of my parents had cancer at the same time. And I remember doing a lot of research and I found this documentary called Healing Cancer from the Inside Out. And what was really fascinating about it is it gave the history of the American Cancer Association, the American Medical Association. And way back in the day, there were these plant medicines that were healing people, and all of these other homeopathic and just natural practitioners that were really helping people and really making a difference and curing people. And as the American Cancer Association began to get bigger and have more footing, all of these people and practices got kicked out of the country, right? They had to go down to Mexico. They had to go to Canada. They had to go to other places. And now it's considered like super taboo or just kind of like BS, right? Because we believe so hardly in Western medicine, which really isn't curing people. It's covering up symptoms. So it's really fascinating. Yeah. And I haven't thought about that in a long time. But talk to me about the science behind essential oils, since you brought that up.
Absolutely. I just want to say one thing, though, because I think it's important because you brought this up. I was recently speaking for a summit on healing through cancer holistically, holistic resources. And it inspired me to write an ebook that is available on the Soul Institute website. I think it's like $3.99. For a download, but we wouldn't turn anyone away that wanted the information. And basically, I go into the 5 pillars of modern alchemy of the Soul Institute and ways that people, like through the solfeggio frequencies, like 174 hertz for pain, using essential oils in a very accessible way, like we're going to talk about in a moment, and using some of these self-love practices can really be such a profound adjunctive support healing through the journey with cancer. So just wanted to share that.
Yeah. And at the end of the episode, you're going to have a chance to share all of your links and everything too. And we'll have them in the show notes, but I'd love to hear the science behind essential oils.
Sure. So let's talk about the oils for a moment, right? Because I mean, I'm sure so many of your listeners have heard about essential oils, have heard about lavender. It's one of the most common ones. So let's take lavender, for example. So for each essential oil, now the essential oil is the most potent form of plant medicine. It is both biochemically active and alchemically active. So what I mean by that, from a biochemical perspective, each essential oil can have in the upwards of hundreds of chemical constituents. Those chemical constituents, like the two primary ones for lavender, are linalool and linalool acetate. Now, these two chemical constituents are what give lavender that very calming and soothing effect through the nervous system. That's one of the reasons that it's so beneficial for things like restfulness, relaxation, insomnia, and et cetera. So the roots of the benefit of the essential oils come both from the chemical aspect, right? Because all of the chemical constituents have affinities for different parts of our body, whether it is anti-inflammatory or antiviral, antibacterial, analgesic, and so on, even anti-cancer. We can come back to that in a moment. But the essential oils are not just biochemically active because they also represent the quintessence of the plant and the vibrational patterning. And this is what makes the essential oil such an incredibly innovative, holistic medicine for us to balance not just our body, right, aches and pains or discomfort, but our emotions, our mental states, and our spiritual connection. Now, the one thing, and this is what I am so passionate about, Chris, is the use of essential oils via inhalation through olfaction. And here's why. Because of the proximity of your nose to the brain, but specifically to the amygdala and the limbic system that regulate so much of our physiology, mood, memory, and emotion in particular, when you inhale an essential oil, it can have an almost immediate effect on the brain and nervous system, right? So if you think about that for a moment, in moments when you're feeling down, or overwhelmed, or scattered, right? Or disconnected. When you smell the right essential oils in this regard, in the right formulation, it can shift how you feel in the moment. Now, if we take that a step further to say, if you build a healthy habit practice around using the essential oils via inhalation, then you become able to shift the trajectory of your emotional response. So that means your habitual trigger points that have a domino effect, if you will, to an emotional response. Well, this is how you can have a tool of empowerment at your fingertips to transform that. And remember that the better that we feel in each moment, well, that creates a stepping stone effect to allow for the highest expression of who we are to surface. And that means better, more clear decisions, greater harmony in our relationships, greater love in how we care for ourselves, and how we then ripple that out to the world and everything that we touch around us. Now, if that isn't enough of an incredible response or effect from the essential oils, we can also repattern at the neuro level when we're using them via inhalation and we're harnessing the power of our intention. Things like affirmation, right? And specific mindfulness practices that we can really transform the outcome of past trauma from the subconscious perspective to our cellular perspective.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. That last part was making me think about how they say, like, if you chew gum while you're studying for a test and then you chew that same gum while you're taking it, it helps you recall the answers. And in a way, it makes sense if you're inhaling these scents. And then when a trigger does happen, you're inhaling them again, it can like help elevate your mood and help move you past it. And it's really interesting because I was actually just going to ask you, like, how do you use them? Do you put drops on your skin? Sounds like you only use them for inhalation, which is amazing because then your oils last forever too, right?
Oh, much longer. Well, a couple of ways. And one thing I want to say to that, because what you touched on is so important, that because the limbic system is lock and key in its nature, if you are to smell an essential oil via inhalation before you study or before healing or before a meditation or a sacred intentional practice, and then you do your practice or your study, at the end of it, you smell that same oil again because you've opened, you've created a new memory cell, and then you've closed it. And then add to that memory a key. The key is smelling that same oil again, right? To unlock that intention, that information, that intelligence, that vibration, that frequency.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I've heard similar things with like little movements you can do. For example, like anytime you're feeling really joyful, like really, really joyful, and you want to lock that moment, you could do a little thing. Like maybe you just like scratch the inside of your palm with your finger or something. And then you do it every time you start to feel that way. And then eventually you'll be able to just turn it on yourself. And, you know, it's a practice I've tried doing myself, and it actually works. So I can imagine like olfactory is so strong, right? It's scents so that connect us back to memories.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can imagine how that would even amplify it even more.
It's so true.
Do you think that people should buy these pre-mixed formulations, or are you more of an advocate of going for just like straight oils on their own?
Well, I think it depends on the individual.
Okay.
There are individuals that love to make their own medicine, to get the raw materials. Now, of course, this is where purity is paramount, because this is an unregulated field and there is tremendous adulteration. Mm. So you need to know your source for sure. For those people that like to make their own medicine, that's beautiful. In many people like to have a prêt-à-porter aromatherapy, right? Already ready to go, diluted for them to use, because although inhalation, yes, you can inhale it from the bottle, I'm an advocate for putting one drop on the palm of your hand.
Okay.
And the reason why, in particular the left palm, which is your receptive side, but the palms of your hands, like the soles of your feet, are these incredible vortices, right? Like a chakra, the smaller one. And if you've ever tried, this is a great party game, to peel a small clove of garlic and to rub it on the sole of your foot. And about a minute later, you taste it on your breath. Why? Because it's entered your bloodstream. Right. So the essential oils, when we use them this way, we're able to put it here to receive the biochemical and the alchemical aspects. And then it makes it so easy to inhale here. And all you need is one drop.
Very cool. Yeah. You know, I know, and essential oils really work for different things. Like I used to have chronic headaches, and I tried everything. I was going to acupuncture every week. I was going to a chiropractor every week. I was getting a Goscue. I was doing all these things, taking Advil. And now all I do, I started to realize it was like very tied to emotion. So now all I do is I notice where there's stress in my body. I relax that stress and I use peppermint oil, and it I'm very liberal with the peppermint oil. Like it goes all over my neck and around my face and my head, but it's like the only thing that actually helps my chronic headaches. It's
That's
amazing.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super medicinal.
Yeah. So, peppermint is a very potent analgesic, a wonderful anti-inflammatory, and known for clearing the mind in that way.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense if the headaches come from a place of stress, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. That actually makes me think, are there a couple like starter oils for people that aren't like me with my little collection over there?
I love your collection. That's beautiful. Yes, I would say we want to have one that's represented for relaxation. Lavender, of course, is a great one. It's also an excellent one to have in your kitchen for burns. Because it helps with skin cell regeneration, also as an anti-inflammatory if you burn yourself. So cuts and wounds, it's very handy and accessible. And I also like to recommend a citrus. Lemon is one of my favorites. It is so incredibly versatile. They did a study in Japan and many, many years ago where they piped lemon essential oil through the ventilation system of an office building and found that the staff there had a higher rate of productivity and less of a rate of errors through that process. So again, just really bringing in that kind of scientific aspect. But
it wakes you up, right? The citrus, it makes you more aware.
Yes, it's so uplifting. So if you have a tendency to feel down, feel sluggish, right? Lemon is an excellent oil for upliftment. So we'd have one citrus, one flower, and then something from the woods. The woods are wonderful because they help to provide strength and structure, right? Mm-hmm. Which is so important for all of us from an emotional perspective, but also mentally. Cedarwood is a wonderful aromatic, you know. Sandalwood is very expensive these days and not as easy to come by, but the new Caledonium sandalwood is wonderful and a little bit more accessible. You can't really get Indian sandalwood anymore because it's on the black market and not available. But if you like sandalwood, rosewood is also another beautiful one. It's similar to lavender in its relaxing nature, but there's a strength there too. And if you can get that and sourced in a sustainable way and use it reverently, it becomes a wonderful oil too.
So what's a situation where someone might want to use one of the woodsy ones?
So for the wood is if maybe you don't feel like you're supported. Maybe you don't feel like you have that structure that you need to organize not just your day-to-day schedule, but your mind in a way that feels like you can accomplish things, right? If we think of the trunk of the tree, right? What does it do? It transports energy from the earth up to the crown of the tree. And so it provides strength. Right. And so for any time that you feel like, oh, wow, I'm really in a situation right now where I don't feel I have the foundational structure, the strength and the support that I need to get through this. And, you know, if you just imagine that, right, imagine inhaling a wood oil, you could feel yourself sitting or standing more upright, of feeling that sense of strength, of empowerment.
Very cool. And is there any benefit to choosing an oil that just smells particularly good to you, like you just feel drawn to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there is enough in our day-to-day experience of life that can challenge our pleasure, right? Our joy, our happiness. So when we can find something that is naturally based, whether it's from a spice like cinnamon or a fruit like lemon or orange or a flower like lavender or ylang or like one of the woods, and that smell brings you joy, then do the things that bring you joy. Because the more joyful you feel in each moment, the more empowered you feel to call to yourself your most abundant and authentic life, because you are a vibrational being. You are a magnet, right? So it is up to all of us to tune our magnet in joyful ways, in harmonious ways, in loving ways, in ways that are grounded and still connected.
I love that. What is the benefit of patchouli? Because that's the one that I'm always really drawn to. Mm. Like, I love putting drops of it in the bathtub and taking a bath.
It is such an incredible oil. I'll tell you just super quick. I fell in love with patchouli in a whole new way when I went to India about 20 some years ago on an aromatherapy trip. And we went to all the farms where plants were grown. And we went to one where there was patchouli. So of course I hadn't seen it before. I picked it and started to rub the leaves together because the leaf is where the oil comes from. Right. And
what does it look like really quick before you?
What does it look like? It looks like a very green, leafy, fluffy, short and stout plant.
Okay.
You wouldn't think like, oh, this is patchouli at all. Yeah. You would be absolutely surprised.
Okay.
I can send you a picture after if you want to have it for your,
I'm sure I can Google it too, but I've just never thought about patchouli as anything but an essential oil.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Well, my friend and I were filled with such a state of euphoria that we laughed for a good hour of things where other individuals were looking at us going, what are they on? I want some of that. So there is such a presence of pleasure, of joy. Patchouli is wonderful for the skin. For aging skin, it is a cell regenerator, so it's wonderfully topically for insect bites. snake bites, insect repellent if you make your own. Patchouli is excellent for that. But one of the most profound aspects from an emotional perspective is that it assists with anxiety. It calms, soothes, and balances anxiety. And so it makes you feel connected to the earth. And when you feel connected to the earth, you can feel connected to your body.
That totally makes sense. Because like I was saying, I love putting drops in the bathtub. And being in the water in and of itself is just so healing to me. It's just like, it feels like it cleanses my aura. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. That's the feeling I get. And it makes sense that like patchouli added to that. So is there any benefit in diffusing oils? How do you feel about diffusers?
I like diffusers as long as it is a nebulizing diffuser with a timer on it. Because here's the rub. If you just have a diffuser going on all day, A, you're using a lot of a very precious resource and commodity, but B, you can overwhelm your nervous system.
Okay.
You don't need to have it on that long. So you can have it on for 20 minutes and then have it turn off for 15. And with a
that makes sense because like when my husband and I run them, like sometimes we'll get headaches. It's like too much. It's too like, much. Oh my God, can we just open all the windows right now and turn this off?
Right. Yeah. Because remember, and with the nebulizing diffuser, you're getting the micro droplets of the essential oil, which is key because that is where we have the benefits of as an antidepressant, reducing anxiety, inflammation, antiviral, antibacterial, antimicrobial, and so many other biochemical benefits in that way, in addition to them smelling good.
Okay, that's really good to know. Okay, so right now I'm pregnant and all of my little essential oil bottles, I mostly use doTERRA and Sage. I don't know how to pronounce Sahe. I don't know how they pronounce it. Those are my brands that I usually go to. But all of them say don't use when pregnant. What are your thoughts?
Well, of course it's going to say that because that's a disclaimer. And for many individuals that don't have the educational level, that's an important disclaimer. And so what I always recommend for individuals that come to me and ask during pregnancy is you have to really connect with your practitioner because there are nuances to you. You're an individual, right? And the gift of aromatherapy is that for each individual, there is an individual remedy. And that is such a beautiful process, right? In the masterful formulation of a blend for an individual, because there are nuances to your body, your process, whether, many different variables. And so, with that context, context is key, right? With that caveat, context is key. Did I use essential oils during my pregnancy? Yes, with both of them. So again, it depends on the level of purity of the essential oil, quality and purity. It depends on the context of the individual. It depends on the delivery method. And there are some, oils like a sage, a Spanish sage, Salvia officinalis, that you certainly wouldn't use under any circumstances in pregnancy. So it really is individual specific, and my advice is to consult your healthcare practitioner.
So how do you figure out an individual's remedy when you work with them?
Well, this is one of my favorite things to do. So I usually, whether that client is coming to me for energy medicine and essential oils or just essential oils, we sit down either in person or on Zoom and we go through an intake process and really look at a lot of different markers holistically from a physiological perspective, of course, medications, health history to emotional patterning and to intention. What is your sacred intention? And for me in my process, of course, I've been formulating now for almost 30 years for individuals, but also for commercial, right? For many of the formulas I've created through past businesses and current have sold hundreds of thousands of bottles around the world of these blends. So So it's really a process of sitting in sacred space before I blend for someone or for to create an actual product for either my brand or someone else's brand. But there are many different intentions that come into the co-creative process in that way. And it's really so beautiful because, you know, for me, then I'm able to sit in a sacred space and I hear, right, 7 drops of this oil, 5 drops of that oil. And it really is an alchemical process in that regard.
Very cool. All right. So we're getting near the end. I'm going to ask you, I like to ask people to either give something that listeners can take away or that I can take away just so that people can hear like, oh, okay, this is like how this works. So here's my personal question before we kind of wrap it up. So I have been having really intense pain in the upper right of my abdomen, right on my ribs. They thought it was a gallbladder thing. All the gallbladder tests are clear. Now they're just like, ah, it's probably just like your inflammation between your muscles and your ribs. It's been going on for 3 months. And it's getting progressively worse. What kind of essential oil would help me?
And so I would ask you specifically, because you mentioned pregnancy, how far along you are.
7 months, 28 weeks and 5 days.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
But it's been going on since the beginning of the second trimester. Thank you.
Of the second trimester. Mm-hmm. And have you ever had any liver issues before?
So that's what they thought. They thought it was gallbladder. So they tested, they did an ultrasound on my gallbladder and liver. They did blood work. Everything looks fine. Mm-hmm. But the symptoms, when you look them up, are like identical to gallbladder symptoms. Mm-hmm. And what helps it is identical to gallbladder. So it's interesting.
Mm. And I would also ask you feelings of frustration, resentment at all in this?
I know gallbladder and liver are associated with like anger, right?
Oftentimes, or frustration, resentment building.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, let's say yes. What would we?
I'm really drawn to lemon for you.
Lemon. Interesting. All right.
And so, and what I would say is, you know, you could add a couple of drops to your bath, you know, put maybe 3 drops to your bath, but put it into some like coconut oil first, because the citrus oils can be irritating for the skin. So if you mix it with some coconut oil or olive oil before you add it to the water.
All right.
And when you feel that pain coming in, what I would say is to add a drop of lemon to the palm of your hand and just take a deep breath in as you're breathing in golden light to that part of your body. Mm. Really blessing that part in the listening.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you.
So you're blessing and receiving through your breath.
All right. I'll try that. Thank you. I appreciate it. Okay. So I'm sure listeners are dying to have a consultation with you at this point. So tell them what you're working on, how they can work with you, how they can find you online, all the information.
Wonderful. Thank you, Chris. So my website is thesoulinstitute.co. And there are many different ways to work with me, whether it's through having me make a custom formula with you or coming on as a client or even studying in the Love Frequency, our Modern Alchemist Certification Program, because the next cohort for that starts in January. I would say the best way is to pop on there and schedule a free 15-minute discovery session with me. And then what we can do together is really find out what your desire is, your sacred intention, what you're looking for, and how I can best serve you with the many tools of the Institute. My new book will also be coming out in the spring of next year, The Love Frequency, A Modern Alchemist Guide to Thriving in Sacred Purpose. And I have a number of places where I'll be teaching next year, like Kripalu in Massachusetts and Art of Living in Boone. And I also take a group to Southern France every year to follow the footsteps of Mary Magdalene on a beautiful pilgrimage where I do ceremony every day for 9 days with a group with the oils and the crystals and the frequency.
That sounds lovely. Everyone go jump on that. All the links are going to be in the show notes and you'll be able to find them really easily. So don't worry about writing it down if you're driving or can't get to your pen right now. And thank you so much for everyone listening. Please like, share, subscribe. This podcast is part of the LA Tribune Podcast Network. We're doing a lot of really cool stuff. We just had a Think and Grow Rich Summit with the Think and Grow Rich Institute. We've got a lot going on, so follow us. Keep in touch. Check out my book, Change Your Mind to Change Your Reality. Everything is in the show notes. And thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of your day, everyone. Thank you, Adora, for coming on today.
Thank you, Chris.